It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Taylor Talk, the most awesome Taylor Swift podcast on iTunes and the only one on iTunes. My name's Adam. I'm going to be one of your co-hosts. I am the webmaster of taylorswift13.org, a Taylor Swift fan site where you can dress up Taylor, go through our gallery of photos, and all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm going to let my other co-hosts introduce themselves at this time. So, Belle, take it away.
Hi, I'm Belle. I've been a fan of Taylor since 2006 when she first released her album. In 2007, I started an independent country music magazine, and we decided to feature Taylor and put her on the cover. And that was really exciting because at that point in time, she had never been on the cover of a magazine. So I met her at the beginning of 2008 and let her know what was going on and what we were doing, and she was just so excited about it. And we made the magazine. Ever since then, she's obviously gotten a lot bigger as an artist, and it's just been a privilege to see her grow with her music and herself and her career. I've just been a really big fan of her ever since. So I'm going to let my other co-hosts introduce themselves. Jensita, take it away.
Hi, guys. It's Jensita. And two of the Twitter accounts that I want to talk about are, one is for the Speak Now Wives, and that's a fan account that we made for all the agency wives since they're away from their husbands during tour. And we try to make them videos with pictures and messages from you guys, and they actually watch these videos. So if you want to get a message to the agency and their wives, you should just tweet at Speak Now Wives and we'll get them in the videos for you. And then the other one is at TT the number 4 and Taylor, and that's a trending account for Taylor Swift, so that way we can all try and trend things for her. Everyone helps trend things for Taylor, so it's not that we need a trending account, but sometimes there's different people trying to trend different things, and so that way if we all come together and we're united, hopefully we can get more Taylor topics to trend. And we have the honor of having another co-host here from a really big Taylor Swift account, T Swift on Tour. So Maya, take it away.
Hey, I'm Maya, and I am one of the three girls who runs T Swift on Tour, which is a, I guess, call it a tour update Twitter. We post live updates from every show, and in between shows, we try to just post updates about Taylor, about the band. So we just try to keep people on top of what she's doing and inform them about the tour and post videos and things for fans who can't attend the shows. And we're also running a project called The 13th Wish, where people can submit stories on 13thwish.tumblr.com. And we read through all the stories, and then we pick a few people on the 13th of every month, and we send them Taylor-related gifts, so merchandise or, if we're lucky and we get donations, concert tickets, or bigger things like that. So, that's essentially what I do.
All right. Thanks, guys. So for all the new listeners out there, which is all of you because this is the first episode, we are going to be your four primary hosts. We will see a variety of guest hosts come and go throughout several episodes. But we're going to be your four primary hosts, so I hope you like us. So upcoming, we got a really fun episode for you. We're going to be doing a calendar of events with some of the upcoming award shows. We're going to be talking about the recent Taylor Swift news. We're going to be talking a little bit about her fourth album, the mysterious fourth album that'll be coming out next year. We're going to be talking about Wonderstruck and a few other goodies for you. So I'm going to hand it over to Belle to update all you guys on the award shows coming up.
So the CMAs are on November 9th this year, and everyone knows that they're really excited because Taylor's nominated again for Entertainer of the Year, for Single of the Year for Mean, for Album of the Year, Speak Now, Song of the Year for Mean, and Music Video of the Year for Mean. Obviously, Mean is a really popular song for a really good reason, if you've heard it. It's upbeat, but it's also got a really good message. Also, one more thing about the CMAs. Okay, there's a poll going around. It is not voting. The CMAs are not fan voted. The poll is just for fun. So just keep that in mind. Don't worry about it. It's not voting. Doesn't matter who's winning or losing. It's not going to make any difference in the results. The American Music Awards are coming up on November 11th. Taylor's nominated for Artist of the Year, Country Music Female
Belle,
Artist.
Belle, sorry. They're on November 20th.
Oh, I read that wrong. I'm sorry. They're on November 20th, and the voting ends on November 11th. Sorry about that, Adam. She is nominated for Artist of the Year, Country Music for Female Artist, Country Music Favorite Album, Speak Now. Completely excited. And you can go to abc.gov www.ACAGO.com for information on both the CMAs and the ACAs. The American Country Awards. They are Monday, December 5th. She's nominated for Artist of the Year, Artist of the Year Female, Album of the Year for Speak Now, Single by a Female Artist for Mean, Touring Headline Act of the Year, and Music Video of the Year for Back to December. Beautiful video. You can vote for these awards at www.theacas.com, and you can vote up until November 11th. Oh, but the Artist of the Year actually goes on till December 2nd, so you can vote for that until December 2nd, which is really exciting.
Which is important because Taylor is up for Artist of the Year, so keep voting.
Pause this and go vote.
Pause the show. Vote.
Adam, do you want to talk about Cradle Rock?
Yeah, the final upcoming event, which I'm pretty excited about, even though I shouldn't be, being a grown adult, but Cradle Rock is releasing a Taylor Swift-related album. It's going to be called Tearless, and what they basically do are they're taking her album Fearless and turning it into a lullaby album, which is kind of cool. That's coming out on November 8th. You can purchase it at the CradleRockStore.com. Sorry, Cradle Rock Store. There is no "the" in it. So, I mean, what's everyone's opinion on that?
I think that's a really cute idea, especially for kids. It's a good way to like introduce kids to the music.
I think the earlier you start them out, the more Swifties we'll have for the future generation.
Which is true. Maya, anything?
Yeah, I think that's an adorable idea. I know if I had a child, I would like geek out over that a little bit.
Are you going to buy it? Is anyone going
to
buy it for
themselves?
I don't
really have a reason to buy it right now, but I may try to like find a friend who has a small child and buy it for them.
you could totally buy it for yourself. You're away at college right now, right, Maya? So
yeah.
Don't you live in a noisy building? Like, are you in the dorms?
Yes, I am in the dorms. So if you hear door slamming or screaming or something like that, that's why.
You could totally use the lullaby album. I'm sure it'll help you fall asleep there.
I bet it would.
Dorms are no fun.
Not at all.
Anyway, so some of the recent news that's been going on, at least it's recent when we're recording this, depends on when you're listening to it. The Lorax trailer came out the other day,
yay,
which is Taylor Swift's upcoming movie. It comes out March 2nd, I believe. It'll be on March 2nd, which is the same day as one of her shows in Australia, which is kind of cool. I wonder if she'll get to watch it in Australia if it releases the same day. But have you guys seen the trailer
yet?
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm in love with it.
It's adorable.
I don't know. For some reason, I saw the trailer like 3 months ago. I don't know how, but I remember seeing it, and I don't know why it suddenly, it's like it came back now.
Was it a teaser? Because I believe what was just released is the official trailer.
I remember I think it was the same trailer, but it was like a couple months ago. Maybe it was like leaked or something. I'm not sure.
That's possible. It could have been a
so I guess this is like the official release.
It looks hilarious, this movie.
Yeah, it does.
And I have to hand it to Taylor. She actually does have, like, a really good speaking voice, and I think that she would be really good in something like this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely,
definitely. Definitely excited to hear it.
So, also in the news recently, Taylor's tour, her Speak Now World Tour, topped the Billboard's Hot Tour list yet again, pulling in $18.6 million in ticket sales over the last month, which is just unbelievable and staggering number. I believe the tour as a whole, just the North American stretch, has pulled in somewhere close to $90 million, which is a lot of money. So it's a lot just from ticket sales. That doesn't even include all the merchandise they've sold either. So it's a big number. I wish I was Taylor. I could retire.
You could retire with like a fraction of that.
Our final bit of news, which we just found out today, in fact, on the day of recording, which is October 30th, is that Taylor is going to war with Celebrity Jihad over these alleged nude photos that supposedly were leaked of her and are not actually her. So have any of you seen those photos?
Yeah, I've seen them. It's so obviously not her. It's not even funny. Like, the girl is blonde.
With curly hair. That's
with
it.
With curly hair, and she's, like, skinny. And that's about the only, that's, like, where the resemblance ends.
They didn't even Photoshop her face on it?
No, it's a completely different person. And they're just like, these are allegedly photos of Taylor Swift. And, like, no.
And it's funny, because in the original article when I was reading it, they're like, oh, we believe that it's legitimate because if you look at the wood panels in the background, it looks like a high-quality trailer, like the type she would be on while she's on tour.
What?
And I'm like, that's their justification. I'm like, if you also look at the picture, there's one of those, like, a, it's like a fan merchandise thing for the Chicago Bulls basketball team, and it's like a locker. And I'm like, since when is Taylor Swift associated with the Chicago Bulls in any way? Like, as far as I know, she's not really that into basketball. And if she was, I don't think the Bulls would be her team. You know, nothing against the Bulls, but why would they be her team? So basically, as that stands right now, Taylor's representation, her attorneys and such, have sent a stern letter to Celebrity Jihad asking them to remove the photos. And I'm guessing it says that they're prepared to sue if Celebrity Jihad resists, which right now Celebrity Jihad is just considering their legal options before they make a move. Which, if you read the review I put on TaylorSwift13.org, you know, I mentioned the fact that if I were Celebrity Jihad, I would take those down without hesitation. Like, I wouldn't even check legal ramifications of what's going on, because you're talking about trying to combat Taylor Swift and her legal team. Like, it's not gonna happen.
I think for now, it seems like the path that they decided to take is like just using very ambiguous wording. Like, these are supposedly pictures of Taylor Swift, and like there's nothing actually like concrete in the way that they worded it. But, you know, they're still essentially implying that they think it's her. But I think that it might. So like, they're trying to sort of make it harder for her legal team to like say that they're actually saying it's her, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think they're just doing it for publicity, because how many readers have gone to their site now after they've been mentioned in the news in this scandal?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, in this kind of situation, it doesn't really matter whether you're loved or hated. It just, you know, they just want the attention.
They just want the money. Cash of money.
Like, I refuse to look at the site, because even looking at it is just going to give them a click, and it's just going to give them attention.
Exactly. So, any more on that, or shall we move on?
I think we've covered that. I think that there's nothing else you can really say about that kind of an atrocity.
Happier things.
Happier things. So, something very happy that we're going to talk about is the fact that in Taylor's interview with Ryan Seacrest, she revealed she's already recorded 25 songs so far. One of our co-hosts here, Miss Bell, is a recording artist herself and songwriter. So, as somebody in that industry and someone familiar with the processes, like, what's your opinion on the fact that she's recorded 25 songs already a year in advance?
Well, I mean, Taylor is a person who writes about her life on a daily basis. She's the type of person who could be in the middle of a store, middle of a line at a grocery store, and have an idea in her head and have to whip out, you know, her iPhone or a pad of paper and have to write something down. And that's not just about her job or her career. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle I'm familiar with, because I do the exact same thing. So the fact that she's recorded 25 songs means that she's written at least twice that many anyways. So, I mean, she's already actually said that when she has an album out, she writes 40 to 50 songs and has to narrow it down from there. Well, if she's recorded 25 songs, they're probably 25 of her best songs out of 50 to 60. Narrow that down, she's going to have to pick, you know, 10 or 11 of those songs. You know, she's a person who writes about everything, you know, whether it's relationships and love, family, growing up. And she's actually said that this album is going to be on the sadder side. Quote unquote, it's going to be her sad album. I think that has a lot to do with just the fact that everything that she's learned about love and relationships and growing up, and it's hard to let go of everything that you took comfort in growing up and as a child. So I think that that makes perfect sense about what's going on in her life and the age she is and the things that she's gone through. I think it's going to be a really good album. I think it's going to be really insightful. I mean, she's obviously a very brilliant person when it comes to being able to put emotions and thoughts and moments into words.
Is Gyllenhaal in one of those songs?
I wouldn't doubt that there's going to be a song in there about him. She makes a pretty good point to put a landmark on her situations with guys and with, I mean, it's not just about guys, but she does do that. So I would definitely think there's going to be a song about Jake in there. I mean, I really don't know what happened. I mean, nobody does, but that's part of the point of these songs.
Jensita, what do you think?
I know Taylor had mentioned in the past that, you know, Jake had asked her not to write any songs about him on the album. And I know in an interview she did with YouTube, the interviewer was asking her, has anyone asked you before you've gone out, are you going to write a song about me? And she said, well, they don't ask me right off the bat not to write a song about them. But then when they start acting a certain way and they do things that make them not look good, and this one specific person asked her, you're not going to write a song about this, are you? And she said, yeah.
Do you know what that tells me, though? That tells me that Jake knows he did something
wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, like, that only happens once he realized that if she were to write a song about that particular situation, that he was going to come off looking bad. That's when he started to worry about it.
But here's the thing with that, though, because, I mean, at this point in time, anybody that goes out with Taylor is very familiar with what she does, obviously. So if you're going to go out with her, you know what you're putting, what situation you're putting yourself into.
Well, when I date her, our story is going to end up more like Mary's song than anything
else. But the fact is that you know there's going to be a song that comes out of it somewhere along the line.
I'm okay with that.
How do you feel about certain radio hosts or something? I've seen tweets before about people are like, can Taylor start dating more people so we can hear more songs?
Okay, that's kind of lame.
Right?
She does not just write songs about relationships at all. I don't understand that accusation. I feel like people haven't listened to her albums if they say that.
Yeah, she writes a lot more than just relationships. And not only that, I believe it was just in that recent Ellen interview where Taylor's like, I don't want to be that girl that goes out and dates a million different people. She's like, when I do, I want it to be special and meaningful. So those people just clearly don't, they're not true Swifties.
And a lot of the songs that are on her album, too, she mentioned that they were about moving on. And I saw in one article from someone, they said, oh, Taylor must be writing about a breakup she had over the summer. And it's like, no, she wasn't dating anyone this summer. It's just from past relationships that she's still dealing with some of the pain and the hurt from that. And, like, obviously, you know, she's still trying to cope with that and moving on to find happier places. But obviously, she's written songs about that. And those are the songs that we're going to be hearing on this album.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. She can't hide a relationship. If there was one over the summer, we would know about it.
Taylor's a lot of things, but subtle is not one of them.
No, I think she's just too busy to date anyone, really,
on tour,
which brings me to my next point. Like with this tour, I mean, the shows, several of them are back-to-back, you know, just one night right after the other.
Yep, like today and yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Like today and yesterday. Yesterday was what, Lexington?
Yep, last night was Lexington, and tonight is Memphis.
Tonight's Memphis. So, So like that. So she's traveling state to state, has these back-to-back shows, maybe a day or two at most in between shows. So when has she found time to record 25 songs? Because even on those days off, she's doing something like appearing on the Ellen show, for example. We just mentioned that. You know, like, she's doing something.
Every couple of weeks, she has a couple days where even if the show before it was in, like, Canada, she goes home to Nashville. So she's, every few weeks, she's home in Nashville for at least one day. And so I think that she's been taking advantage of those breaks to go into the studio and, you know, work on her new album a little bit. And actually, after tomorrow, she's got two or three days off. Her next show is on the 5th after
what
tonight.
A champ.
So I think she's probably going to go and do a whole bunch of work now.
She never sits still.
No, she does not.
How about that Wonderstruck?
How about that Wonderstruck? So that was the most smooth transition into our next topic I've ever heard. I'm very pleased. Thank you, Jensita. So Wonderstruck was just released recently. So I have to ask my three female co-hosts who has smelled it.
It smells great.
I'm wearing it, Adam. That's how much I love
it. You're wearing it just like Taylor.
I'm not wearing it yet, but I mean, it's like, I will be probably at
some
point.
Belle, how could you show up to recording stinky? Not smelling like Wonderstruck, but Jensita, I'm glad you made the point of pointing out the fact that you're wearing it right now because, you know, Taylor said she wears it everywhere, including on stage and otherwise, on stage, live appearances, etc., etc., etc. So that's kind of cool that you are also.
I know she said she made it so that way people can remember that smell, and when they smell it, they can sort of have a memory of you in mind. And she wanted to give people these memories, not just of, obviously, Taylor Swift, of you thinking, oh, Taylor Swift, this is her perfume, but, you know, you meet a boy and he smells you, and then he smells that scent like 2 months later someone else is wearing it and he thinks of you. And so I think that's just one of the good things about the perfume. But for me, it just makes me really happy whenever I spray it on and I'm just like, Wonderstruck.
Wonderstruck.
It's actually, like, I remember her wearing it from when I went to the meet and greet. So when I smelled it for the first time, it was like, whenever that was, like last month, I was like immediately like hit with that memory. I was like, oh my goodness, Taylor was wearing this. So
it was
what I
on
think
Taylor.
Yeah, the memory thing is so true, though, because, you know, I remember, like, my first boyfriend when I was 14, and he wore Cool Water cologne. So anytime I smell Cool Water to this day...
Hey, I have that stuff. I never wear it, but I have
anytime
it.
Anytime I smell that to this day, I think of that person. So she has a really good point about, like, sense memory. And
not only that, but something kind of cool that might be overlooked is the correlation between perfume and music, because Taylor always is keen to point out the fact that songs create memories and the perfume creates memories. And if you look at Taylor's product line, it's non-existent. She has the perfume. So it's just, it's very her.
And she took, well, she took a year to make this perfume too, because she really wanted to be involved in the process. It's not like she called somebody and was like, oh, can you just throw in some of this and this and this and just, you know, send me a sample of the smell. Like, she met up with people and she, you know, learned about the process, and she, I mean, everything was her. And she took all this time to make sure it was exactly the way she wanted it to be. Whereas I think a lot of people that have their name on things nowadays just tend to call somebody else and have them do it for them and just be like, oh, just
Justin, Justin Bieber.
And the nail polish.
Sorry, I picked up a little cough right there. I think, like, Taylor's contagious or something from, like, 2,000 miles away. I picked up her cough, apparently.
I remember when I was in August at one of her concerts in L.A., and I think they had just recently gotten her Wonderstruck shipment in, and, you know, Claire came out, and someone was like, oh, you smell so good, and she's like, oh, I'm wearing Wonderstruck, and it was just funny that, you know, the girls on tour actually wear it, and one of Taylor's band members, Daniel, he's the percussionist, I had my lotion last week when I went to the San Diego concert, and I let him smell it, and he's like, oh, it smells like Liz.
That's really funny, because Liz
is so funny that, like, all the girls are wearing it now.
It only makes sense, though. It smells so good.
And then someone's like, what did Taylor smell like?
What if Taylor has them under contract? You have to wear it or you're fired.
Oh, no.
That would be kind of funny.
Wait, Adam, have you smelled it?
I have, because, you know, a short while ago, I had that contest through my Twitter account where I gave away a free bottle of Wonderstruck, which actually makes for a funny story, like walking into Macy's to actually buy Wonderstruck. I'm just like, it was this old lady. It was like this old lady in the cosmetics department, you know, helping me out. And I'm like, I tried to act like I didn't know what I was talking about, so I wouldn't seem like a total, like, loser. And I'm just like, yeah, do you have that, that new Taylor Swift,
that perfume
stuff? And she's like, oh, I think we got it in just today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I need it for a gift for someone.
Well, that wasn't technically a lie.
And
smooth.
It wasn't a lie. It was a gift, and congratulations to my winner, you know, who got it. But, you know, it was a very awkward situation, because she kept making comments like, oh, she's going to love it. And it was like alluding to the fact that I was buying it for a girlfriend, which it was not. It was for a contest.
I actually noticed when I bought it that the sales lady was really enthusiastic too. She was like, I don't know, she was maybe like in her 40s or something. And she was like, I just love this smell. It smells so great. I was wearing it all day yesterday. Like, she was going on and on. I was like, yeah, I like it too.
How old was that person?
Like 40s.
40. That's interesting, because I've always, I mean, based on my perception of the scent, I kind of feel like it's more of a young women's.
No, I agree. I think it's geared towards younger women.
Definitely is. I was actually disappointed the other day. I was in Macy's and I saw, like, Justin Bieber had a bigger display than Wonderstruck did. So,
no,
like, he had a life-size
cutout. I know.
The cutout was ridiculous. I mean, I think it's life-size because it's about, like, 4 feet tall.
I like to take pictures with it.
With the Justin Bieber cutout?
Yeah. You know, I've never smelled Justin Bieber's perfume or anything, but I mean, if I was going to go buy it, which I'm not, but if I was, I wouldn't think to go to Macy's to buy it. I wouldn't be like, I'm going to go to Macy's and buy Justin Bieber's scent.
I've seen it at
Walmart. I feel like I would
Walmart.
See it at, like, Claire's. At Walmart.
Like, I hate to admit it, but the Justin Bieber perfume actually has some, quite a few notes in common with Taylor's, but it's way more sweet in, like, sort of like a cloying, like, uncomfortable way. Like, it smells like 12-year-olds.
Well, that's their target market, isn't it, for that? That's who Justin Bieber appeals to, 12-year-olds. Which, should 12-year-olds be wearing perfume already? I don't know.
What age
did you all start
wearing
perfume? I don't know these
things. I mean, different perfume, obviously.
I don't think I would buy Justin Bieber perfume for a 12-year-old.
I just don't think I'd buy Justin Bieber perfume in general, but...
Now, Maya, didn't you go to one of the Wonderstruck meet and greets?
I didn't, actually. I was stuck at school, but the other three girls went to the New York
So one. there were three releases so far. Macy's, Sephora, and Belk in New York, L.A., and Tennessee, respectively. Jensita, you went and were disappointed at the L.A. one. Why don't you speak to that a little bit?
Well, the one in LA wasn't supposed to start lining up people till 4 a.m., but I guess a bunch of people showed up early and they just decided to let them. So it ended up selling out at 4 a.m., but I had to work till 7 a.m. So my friend was there, and it was supposed to be the first 300 people get the package and get to meet Taylor, and that morning they cut it down to 150. So I know one of my friends from Arizona actually drove 5 hours and got there at like 5 a.m. and was like the 151st person in line. But I mean, it's kind of disappointing, but at the same time, you have to be thankful for the fact that Taylor does these meet and greets. She doesn't have to do this, and if for whatever reason she had to cut it down, then you can't be too disappointed about it because she does a lot for us, and we're just thankful for the opportunity that she has a perfume and she has a chance for us to go out and meet her. And so, you know, there's always going to be something else she's going to be doing to give back to the fans.
And like we've already said before, like, she's an incredibly, incredibly busy person, and she does not have to take the time out of her day at all to do any of this. Like, I mean, she's already got 50,000 things to do, so it's really cool that she's, you know, even took the time to set up this meet and greets. I think that that's really, really classy of her.
From her perspective as well, can you imagine having to take photos with 150 people, let alone 300?
You should have been there for the 13-hour meet and greet, Adam.
She is amazing in those meet and greets. Like, I remember being so impressed when I went to the meet and greet because I could hear her talking before I went in. And, like, I don't know how she does it. She comes up with new compliments for every single person. Like, everyone who walks in there, she finds something about them that she likes. And, like, she's enthusiastic for everyone. Like, I don't know how she keeps that up, but it's amazing. It's like the two girls in front of me, they go in and I hear her go, "Oh, you guys look so pretty." Like, just for everyone, she has something new. It's so sweet because people get so excited.
Do you know what would be cool for the next Taylor Swift product? So when I was a kid, I had this like insult machine. It was like a little recording and you put combinations of little pre-recorded phrases together. Like one of them that I remember was, it went like this in the robot voice. "You're a gross, disgusting nerd." And it was like a little insult machine. So I think the next Taylor Swift product should be like a compliment machine where she like pre-records a bunch of compliments.
You know, the thing about her in the meet and greets though, like I was at the CMA Fest more than 13 hours actually. She ended up extending it anyways, meet and greet.
14 and a half.
Yeah, 14 and a half hours. And I was one of the last people. And after standing on her feet and meeting, I don't know how many hundreds of people for 13 plus hours, she was still enthusiastic and she was still complimentary. That to me is just amazing because at that point, I'd probably be like, "Oh my God, just get me out of here," you know? I'd be like crying.
I mean, she was wearing heels.
Yeah,
for that
she was wearing
too,
heels. I was unbelievable. Oh my gosh, I was just shocked.
I think a rare quality in her that most celebrities don't have is that she has a legitimate appreciation for her fans. She knows that without the fans, there is no Taylor Swift. You know, and most celebrities don't get that.
That's very true. And she's also one of those people who, if she meets somebody more than once, she remembers you. Which, after meeting thousands upon thousands of people, I think is just outrageous. Like, every time I see her, she always asks me about, like, the magazine and stuff like that. And, I mean, I don't know how she even remembers that.
Yeah.
I know. She's been on how many covers? Oh, go ahead, Maya. Sorry.
Oh, no. Just I'm saying my friends that I know who've met her more than once, like, well, even, like, Ashley, who's another co-owner of T-Swift on tour, she had a pre-show meet and greet when she went to see Taylor in Newark. So, you know, the pre-show meet and greets, you get about 15 to 20 seconds with her. And then Ashley also went to the Wonderstruck meet and greet, which was, what, like 3-4 months later? And Taylor remembered her. It was like, she had 20 seconds with her 3 months before, and then she was like, "Oh, hey!" Like,
Maya, question. So your co-owners of T-Swift on tour were at that Macy's release.
Yes.
Which leads me to believe they stood out on the street for a very, very long time, because I believe the people at the front were there overnight. Overnighters?
When did they get there? I think around 6 or 7 p.m. The night before. And they slept out on the street. And at 10 a.m., they got led into Macy's to get the passes. And then they had to come back later that day.
So that was the process.
And then the meet and greet was at 5:30. Although, for some reason in New York, there were actually only around like 150 or 160 people who camped out.
And then the other half came in the morning?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, from the perspective, all three of you, I believe, have met Taylor, and mm-hmm. I'm the only one that hasn't. I'm going to cry.
Someday.
It'll happen,
someday,
Adam.
Someday, just like Bieber. Just like Bieber's perfume someday. I'm on the Bieber side right now. No, just kidding. I would never be on the Bieber side of things. So, I mean, how do you guys justify, having met her before, actually camping out on the street in New York City? I'd imagine the weather wasn't ideal. Like, just for 10 seconds of taking a picture and getting a hug.
Well, you know, I've actually camped out for her once before, too, and it was in the 2009 meet and greet at CMA Fest. And, I mean, first of all, you're hanging out with your friends all night. I mean, you know, provided that you're not going alone. But even if you are, you're going to make friends in line, you know? And, I mean, that's just fun. And second of all, you know, like I said, to me it's worth it because the fact that she does meet somebody for a couple of seconds, and she still remembers them the next time around, which I think is just one of those, like, she's one of those people that just represents, like, the best of humanity, if that makes any sense. I mean, how classy is that to just, you know, have that kind of a thing where you actually generally appreciate, I mean, I've met a lot of artists, and not, a lot of them are just kind of actually kind of rude in meet and greets. They're like, oh, thanks for coming, sign something, take a picture, shove you along. Like, they don't care.
That's because they're reading whatever their PR people told them to say.
Yeah, you know, I realize that, but I just think that, like, it's not really a fun experience, you know? You're just like, well, that's thanks, you know? I don't know. But, I mean, Taylor just puts everybody in a really good mood.
She makes you feel like the specialist person in the world and that you matter to her.
Yeah, it's actually really true. She does do that. And, I mean, I've never, like, walked away from, you know, seeing Taylor and been anything other than really, really happy. Just because it's just really cool that she does that. And it's just a nice experience that she can give people like that. And, you know, she goes out of her way to do it. And I think that there's a difference. You can be a really great artist and a really great musician, but you can be really bad with people. And I think that...
Yeah, she's got the whole package.
She just has it all. She's really good with people. I mean, if it was all for an act, then she wouldn't remember things, you know? I mean, you can be polite to people, and you can see them four times and be just equally as polite and be like, oh, hi, thanks for coming. But it's when you remember a face and you remember specific things about a person that you're not fake. You can't fake that.
I believe she's the only artist to have people choose fans during the concert to meet her.
Actually, Justin Bieber does that too.
So does Selena Gomez.
Yeah. I believe, I'm sure they copied Taylor, though.
They're kind of more, I think it's, but it's one of those things where, like, if you're not, like, a relatively big Taylor Swift fan, I think a lot of people don't know that that happens. So I think it's sort of a similar thing that, like, if you're not a big Justin Bieber fan, Selena Gomez fan, whatever, you know, that sort of thing doesn't, like, spread outside of the little
fan community. Yeah.
I think they talked about it in the Justin Bieber movie. I can't remember what it's called.
Never Say
The little movie they did on him.
Never Say
Yes,
Never.
That one. They talked about it in that, because that's indirectly how I learned about it.
I haven't seen it
either. The lady I work for is
you're on your own there, Adam.
The lady I work for I didn't see it. That's what I'm getting at.
What's up with that?
The lady I work for is a grown-up believer. It's the funniest thing, because she's like, she won't want me revealing her age on the air, but she's an adult who is a big believer, and it's so funny hearing her talk about Justin Bieber. It's the funniest thing, because I mean, she's married, has kids, you know. But anyway, and she's a bigger fan than her kids. But we got slightly off topic. We were talking about Wonderstruck. We were talking about Wonderstruck, and then led into this whole meet and greet thing. But I mean, one of the things I noticed with Wonderstruck during my reading is that Fox had posted an article previously published on Sodahead calling Wonderstruck overrated, and was wondering what you guys thought about that.
You know, I'm not even sure, like, where you could come up with that word with that perfume. I mean, when something is overrated, that means that it's overexposed, it's poorly created, and I don't think that anybody that has smelled this perfume can really call it cheap and poorly created. I mean, you can buy a $10 perfume at Claire's that might smell like you're walking watermelon infused with sugar. In Wonderstruck, I mean, if you've smelled it, you know, you can tell that there's a lot of components in it to create that smell. And I mean, maybe this is just because, like, I'm a perfume person and I know what it takes to make a perfume. But to me, you know, it's a very well-made perfume. And I just don't feel like any person that has any kind of, I don't feel like anybody should be making a comment like that if they're not educated to do so. And I don't feel like if they are educated to do so, they wouldn't make that comment to begin with. I mean, you know, even if you don't care for the scent, you can't deny that it's well-made.
Overrated sort of implies that Taylor Swift has all of this merchandise and products she's trying to push on people and sell over, and she doesn't. She doesn't have a nail polish line or a shoe line or a purse line. She has this one product, and she put everything into it. She, you know, we talked about her taking a year to create this fragrance. It's not something she just casually did or had someone else make a perfume and put her name on it. She was in the creative process. She was smelling each thing she wanted to put inside of it. So it's not something that's just over the top and it's out there for everyone. It was made well, it was done right, and that was very ignorant of them to say that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Agreed.
I mean, I think this article just came from sort of, I think the authors were just sort of going from an angle of, you know, whatever, she's a celebrity and she's just doing this to get more money. And it's just someone who maybe they're just having a bad day and they needed something to complain about. And, you know, wealthy celebrities seemed like a good place to start. So, I don't know. I think it's just, yeah, I think they didn't really think about it, or they probably don't know about the process that she went through to create it, or, you know, the effort and sort of the thought that went into it.
Which goes into what Belle said about how they're just uneducated on the topic they're writing about. So I guess the moral of the story is don't read Soda Head because they're mean. Da-da. Hey, I had to throw that in.
Bad Taylor puns.
Bad Taylor puns. Bad Taylor puns would make a good mini segment, which right now I'm using that as our transition into our very first mini segment. So for all our listeners out there, the mini segments, what they're going to be are little comic reliefs between the longer discussion topics. And basically this first one's going to be called If Swifties Ruled the World, where you finish the statement, If Swifties Ruled the World, dot, 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 and you finish it with how you think the world would be different. And those can be submitted to us to be read on the air. We set up a dedicated Twitter account for these mini segments and for the podcast as a whole. It's just at TaylorTalk13. And then there is also an email you could email them to if you're more comfortable like that, which is TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. So as we lead into the first mini segment, do the three of you want to read them since we got three of them?
Sure, why not?
All right, why don't we go reverse alphabetical order. Maya can start this time.
All right. So the first one we have is, if Swifties ruled the world, things wouldn't shine, they would sparkle.
If Swifties ruled the world, all emotions would be expressed in song. And that was submitted by Christina from Pennsylvania.
If Swifties ruled the world, there actually would be a Wonderstruck for men. That's a topic we'll get more into in a future episode.
Yeah.
I would wear it. Not. So yeah, that's our mini segment. If you want to submit and if Swifties rule the world, email us or tweet us. On to our next discussion topic. We got some tour updates for everybody. We're going to talk about the guests on tour because we got to catch up. There's been a lot of them. I believe as of the most recent, Sean Colvin, that makes 16 if I counted correctly, which you never know. Math isn't my subject. Yeah, there's been about 16 or so. So do you guys have any favorites so far?
My favorite was Nicki Minaj. I absolutely freaked out when she came out on stage to do Super Bass.
That was fun.
I was so excited. I was doing updates that night, and I remember that someone sent us a picture. I don't know how they got it. It was like a backstage picture of a dressing room with a sign that said Nicki Minaj on it.
Yeah, you can see them when
and
you go to
that was like at the beginning of the show. And yeah, I think it was someone who went to a meet and greet, took a picture and sent it to us. And that was right at the beginning of the show. So we sort of knew it was coming. So we were really excited.
Oh, gosh. I think I was actually updating you guys for that show, too. And I was just it was funny, actually, because me, Adam and Jancita were all at that show, but we didn't know each other yet.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So.
I know. We couldn't even hang out. We were all at the same show.
Jancita and Adam, you guys actually took video of that song, but I was too busy screaming my head off.
We're not getting into that, Belle. That's going to start an argument.
Just because my video has more views, Adam. Really?
And wah-wah, you're cool. You have more views. My video is better. I had better seats than you.
Ha. It's going to be like that, huh?
Now, children.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. So Jancita, who was your favorite guest so far?
I would have loved to see Tim McGraw just because he's really handsome and he's Tim McGraw.
Their duet was gorgeous. I love that.
Were you there? Did you see the video?
No, just videos.
Videos.
I've been to one show.
Maya, did you have a favorite?
I said Nicki Minaj.
Yes. I thought Belle said Nicki Minaj.
I thought you said Belle right now.
Oh, I said Maya.
We need to improve our communication skills. Okay.
And remember our names.
Yeah, that too. Well, I really liked when she had, again, I wasn't there, but Jason Mraz.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I loved the duet.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cute.
I agree. That's definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, and Andy
I don't
Grammer.
Know. Yes, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say Andy Grammer.
My friend was at the show and she called me when he came on stage. So I was like listening to it. And then after the show, we had this whole talk about how she was convinced that like they liked each other. she had a theory. It was funny.
Although Taylor's not interested in anyone. She said, told Ellen.
Yeah, well, she's a girl.
You know.
She might not be.
Just because you're not interested in dating someone doesn't mean that you're not looking at someone and just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Grammer is a good-looking person.
Yeah.
Good-looking.
Yeah,
person.
He is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's so hard to pick a favorite out of all 16 guests. I mean, the ones you all named, with the exception of Nicki Minaj. Well, sorry. I'm not a big Nicki fan.
I was more just excited for Taylor when Nicki Minaj was there. Like, I wasn't even excited for me. I was excited for her.
I know. That's pretty cool because she's a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jim Adkins was a cool one because Jimmy Eat World, like, that song in the middle, like, kind of takes me back because I think it was actually on the American Pie soundtrack.
Yeah, so it is.
I remember, like, listening to that song, like,
and
10 years ago.
And how many arm lyrics has she written from Jimmy Eats World?
Oh,
a lot.
Like, four
right?
or five. Yeah.
There have been a lot of those.
Which, you know, goes to one of your questions that you had, Adam, like, who benefits more, Taylor or the fans at the show?
I was thinking who benefits more, Taylor or the guest speaker, as far as publicity, which I think at this point, with the exception of Justin Bieber, Taylor is significantly more famous and popular than any other artist she's brought on. Well, I take that back. Some of the country artists, Tim McGraw, no. But so there's a couple exceptions. But like when Sean Colvin was on there just recently, like everybody on Twitter is like, who's Sean Colvin? You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, a new community of like millions of Taylor Swift fans know who Sean Colvin is. And a lot of them, when they hear the song, Sonny Came Home, when they performed it together and watched the video, they're all like, oh, I remember that song. Unless, of course, they're like the 12-year-old fans who like weren't even born yet when the song was popular. But sorry, kiddies, just making a joke. So I don't know. I think overall, as a general rule, I think from a publicity standpoint, the guests benefit a lot more, particularly T.I., fresh out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, people like the lead singer from Switchfoot and, you know, the guy from Jimmy Eat World that are not necessarily like bands that Taylor Swift fans would be into. It's kind of nice that she's trying to introduce her fans to a larger range of music.
Right, because she loves a large range of music, which
yeah.
Also it exposes the fans to the people, too. Like, I was always familiar with Jimmy Eat World. I've always known who Switchfoot is. I never knew who Jim Adkins or John Foreman were, though. And now I do.
Another thing is, too, that Taylor does, you know, the same show in every city. And, I mean, she always makes it unique and makes it her own. But the guest star, you know, the guests give her, like, something different about each place and a very specific different memory about each city that she goes to. And I think that's just, you know, also important for her, just because, you know, she can look back at every show and remember bits and pieces about each individual show, but she can also remember, oh, this is where I performed with so-and-so, you know, and I think that, I mean, she makes sure that the shows aren't repetitive. I've seen six so far of this tour.
Taylor is all about the memories. She's all about the memories, isn't she? Creating memories everywhere she goes.
And I love that this tour, she started doing covers. You know, when she went to Canada, she started doing them. And I think that's made the show a lot more. It's like there's sort of that exciting segment of you don't know quite what she's going to do.
Right, which, let's save that for the next episode, though. Hint, hint, listeners, we're going to be talking about some of those covers in the next episode. We're not going to get too in-depth here. It's just a little too much to talk about, the guests and the covers all in one episode.
Going back to the guests, though, New York is going to be really, really
nice transition.
Shows. So we were speculating about who we might think would be there for the guests for those shows.
Yeah, because Taylor she hinted at it. She said, you know, again, I believe it was in the Ryan Seacrest interview on Kiss FM. She said, you know, that she's basically pulling out all the stops. She wants to get some big names there. So it's like, who's bigger than the name she's already brought on? She's had Justin Bieber. She's had Tim McGraw. She's had Kenny Chesney. She's had all these, just Usher, T.I., B.O.B. Sorry, now
Haley
I'm just
Williams.
Reading the list. Yeah, Haley Williams. So she's had these huge names. Who can top that?
Bruno Mars.
I would say Bruno Mars is the strongest possibility,
yeah,
she said on several occasions. He has an amazing voice. I quote her, actually. I'd love to sing with Bruno Mars because he has such an incredible voice.
I think there's a chance that she's... I don't know, you know, what Selena Gomez is doing during that time, but I know that she doesn't have any tour dates on the days of those shows. So I think that there's a chance that she would bring her for one of them because we know that they're good friends. And Selena is another big name. I think it sort of makes sense that they might do something together.
That would be a strong possibility, I think. Do you know what's interesting, though, is I mentioned earlier the people I work for, who is actually who I was with at Taylor's show in L.A. They went to Selena Gomez's show like a week or so afterwards back here in Vegas. And they said her show just doesn't even compare to Taylor's.
I don't think there's many shows that...
I can't even think of anybody. I've seen a lot of concerts over the years, and I really can't say that anybody compares to this show. It's not just a concert. It's like watching a musical. What's different every time? I mean, it's so theatrical and so like specified. You know, she's not standing on stage singing. She's putting on a performance, like a show, like every single time. And it's just... That's why I've gone to it 6 times, and I'm going 2 more, because it's... I don't feel like I'm watching the same show when I go. I feel like I'm watching a different show every time, which is just really fun.
I was also just thinking it's cool for Selena then to be a part of it, because Selena, yeah, she's established in her acting career, but she's still, in my opinion, she's still an up-and-coming music artist.
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree? So I think it's kind of cool for her to get to go with BFF, who's a more established touring artist, and kind of be like, oh man, that's cool. I'm going to do that on my next tour. Yeah, so that'll be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it takes some artists one album and they go on tour. You know, I feel like Justin Bieber, had one album and he gets a headlining tour. And then it takes other artists, you know, maybe 3 albums before they stop opening up for people and they get to be on their own headlining tour. And so from people that come out of Disney or whatever and they're already big from that and they get to go and do these headlining tours right away, you know, they might not have all the polished things that some of the more seasoned people have. So they can always be learning different things by watching them and their performances and being a part of it. So I think, you know, everyone can sort of benefit from that as well.
That's a very good point.
That is a valid point. I didn't even think of that, but do you know who I would not love to see on as a guest on tour with Taylor? I would not like to see Rebecca Black around Taylor's stage.
She showed up at Katy Perry's concert. I think that is more than enough surprise Rebecca Black appearances.
Did she perform at Katy Perry?
Yeah, they sang Friday together.
She was in her music video. I don't know if you knew that, Adam.
She was in her music video, yeah. And then, I don't know where Katie was, but she had Rebecca come out. And I think, and they did like an acoustic version of Friday together.
That's insane.
It was a little painful.
Sorry, I just want to back up 2 seconds for the listeners where that little spurt came from. Rebecca Black told HollyWire's Katie Krause in an interview that she wants to collaborate with Taylor Swift, saying that, and I quote, "People tell me I sound like Taylor Swift once you hear my sound without any adjustments. Just my raw voice. It's unique." And to you, Rebecca Black, I say, if you sounded like Taylor Swift, why would you ever auto-tune your voice?
Why do you gotta insult
Taylor? I really
like your
Rebecca Black voice.
What? Do you like that? Did I sound like her?
No.
Oh.
But it was a good effort, though. It was a
valiant It was a good try,
effort.
Adam.
Yeah.
I tried. But yeah, so that's where it's coming from, listeners. The fact that Rebecca Black wants to collaborate with Taylor. I don't think Taylor would ever go for it.
She also wants to collaborate with Justin Bieber. She wants to collaborate with everyone.
She wants to collaborate with... Well, she can power to her. Go collaborate with Bieber.
baby, it's Friday.
What?
I like the remix.
I know, that is the remix. I should open up for Taylor, you know?
Yeah. You should.
That'd be funny. So what do you guys think of Rebecca Black wanting to collaborate with Taylor? That'd be funny.
I mean, I think it's a lovely idea, but I don't think it's not going to happen, though. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll meet or something, but...
I can see the headline now. Rebecca Black collaborates with Taylor Swift at Madison Square Garden show.
No. That would not be okay.
Read that in the New York Times. That'll be a great finale to do the North American stretch of the Speak Now Tour.
She's not
going to
bring Rebecca Black for the finale of her North American tour.
Not going to happen.
I don't think she would bring Rebecca Black for anything.
No.
I feel like the entire audience would throw fruit.
Yeah, let me bring some extra tomatoes to the Taylor Swift concert, just in case Rebecca Black shows up.
That's probably what the audience prepared. Would do, but what do you think Taylor would do?
What do you mean? Like while
that
on
was
stage?
A subtle transition there.
I get it.
That's gonna
totally
okay.
Spot of the uptake.
I know. I was blunt on that. But anyway, so listeners, on to our next mini segment. This is also going to be a regular segment, just like if Swifties rule the world, that you will be able to submit to. It's going to be called WWTD, stands for What Would Taylor Do? And we're basically just going to analyze random hypothetical scenarios as to what would Taylor do in certain situations. So should we use the one we pre-planned, or should we go on with the What Would Taylor Do If Rebecca Black Was On Stage? Getting tomatoes thrown at her. That's perfect. There's our What Would Taylor Do for this episode. So let's break it down. What would Taylor do if she did collaborate with Taylor Swift and people started throwing tomatoes?
Black, right?
With Rebecca Black.
What did I say?
She said Taylor's... What would Taylor do if she collaborated with Taylor Swift?
I think she does collaborate with Taylor Swift every single day. But...
Oh, geez. I'm losing my mind. So what would Taylor Swift do if she collaborated with Rebecca Black, and during their performance, people in the crowd started throwing
tomatoes
at Rebecca Black?
Just in case.
That's
she
not
came.
The point. It's a hypothetical situation.
Like Maya said, let's bring it's tomatoes a hypothetical. Just in
Say
case.
Say they read it in the news.
Up.
Oh, Rebecca Black's going to be at Taylor Swift's concert. Bring your tomatoes, just in case.
We'll send out a memo on
I don't think that Taylor Swift fans are the type to throw stuff.
She would be disappointed in her Swifties.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't throw things.
We're a more civilized fan base. Unlike the person that threw a water bottle at Justin Bieber, but...
That was, like, the funniest video ever.
No, that was the funniest tweet ever by Grant.
Hilarious.
Grant's tweet that was like, whoever threw that bottle, you're my hero. Like, oh, genius. I favorited that, so... we all have it as our favorites on our Twitter accounts in case anyone's looking for that tweet. So you guys think Taylor would be disappointed if people were throwing tomatoes at Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, she got criticized, and that's why she wrote that song Mean, when someone said, you know, she couldn't sing. So, I mean, even if it's true that we don't necessarily like a certain person's voice, I don't think she would be too proud of us for, you know, being rude to a person.
So I want to play devil's advocate, because the three of you seem to be on the side that Taylor would be disappointed in us as Swifties and whatnot. I'm gonna play the other card. I think if this situation were real rather than hypothetical, I think Taylor would come down off the stage. She would walk up to a member of the audience in the front row and say, "Hey, think I can borrow a tomato? I want to throw one too."
No way.
Taylor is way too polite for that. I mean, in public.
In public, yeah.
In public. I wouldn't put it past her to throw a tomato at Rebecca Black.
I mean, in her own head, maybe a whole different thing, but in public, she would never do something like that, in my opinion.
Yeah, Adam.
It might be like a momentary...
Sorry, that was
Adam,
just...
The most you're going to get from that is like a momentary fantasy in Taylor's head that we're never going to know about.
Yeah.
Momentary fantasy. Yes, that is what I dream about at night. Like, when I wake up and you see me tweet, "Had another dream about Taylor last night," usually it involves her throwing tomatoes at Rebecca Black.
Oh, so this is something you've thought about before.
No, I just kind of made that up. Let's see. Usually when I dream about Taylor, it has to do with going to another Speak Now concert, to be honest. It's usually...
Oh, I thought you were going to say it has to do with our wedding. But...
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
That too. For all the listeners out there, if any of you actually know Taylor personally, let her know. You know, I'm picking out wedding dates already for the two of us, so...
wasn't there one more thing you wanted to ask the audience, Adam, about the New York tour?
Oh, yeah, the New York tour. So I think we mentioned earlier in the show that three of our four co-hosts are going to be at Madison Square Garden for the finale on the 22nd of November. One of your co-hosts is not, and that would be me. So for those of you familiar with New York, you know it's not the cheapest city to visit, and I think my airfare alone, when I looked it up, was $500. So if there are any wealthy listeners in the audience right now, like, and you want to sponsor like a poor Swiftie podcast host to get to the final concert, I will let you on this show. You will be a co-host on this show. Like, no joke. Well,
Adam,
for one, one episode
at
least.
You should make a video for the Taylor Swift look contest.
Yeah.
I know. That would be unique. I might actually win, because I don't think there have been any males that have entered that contest.
Yeah, you better get on that.
Can one of you help me? Because I don't know how to put on makeup.
Give you a Skype lesson on how to put makeup on?
Yeah, exactly. A Skype lesson. You can do video on Skype.
Yeah.
You can totally teach me to put on makeup.
Okay, well, that can be a backup plan.
All right. So in conclusion, any wealthy Swifties, you know, just shoot a little email, adam@taylorswift13.org. You know, you can shoot me a little something, something. Just be like, hey, I got a spare $500 for your airfare if you want to. You want to take it? And I'll be like, sure, I'd love to take your $500 off your hand for you. But anyway, so on that note, I think that's it for our first episode of Taylor Talk. Just a quick review of what we went over. We went over some of the upcoming award shows you can vote for. In our show notes, there will be links, direct links to those voting pages, so you can go vote. Talked about a little bit about the news, the Lorax trailer, the how much money Taylor's tour has pulled in, which is a lot. And also those alleged nude photos. We had our first couple segments discussing Wonderstruck, her upcoming album. We had our mini segments, If Swifties Ruled the World, and also What Would Taylor Do, which again, you can submit to those. And, you know, if yours gets picked, I don't think anybody's opposed to maybe having you as a guest host on the show if yours gets picked. What do you guys think?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
So, I mean, that would be fun. I mean, it's a Taylor Swift podcast. It's for the community. So the more of the community we can get involved, the better. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the first episode. The upcoming episode, like we mentioned earlier, is going to have some talk about cover songs, some talk about the charity work Taylor has done in the past and more recent endeavors. I don't know. I can't speak right now. The lyrics on her arm and more of our mini segments. So on that note, I am Adam.
I'm Belle.
Jensita.
And I'm Maya.
Have a great day, guys. We look forward to recording the next episode for you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.